Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. It is great to see all of your smiling faces this morning. A beautiful sunset last night, if you missed it. It was absolutely gorgeous. There are some positive things to winter, and that's one of them. My name is Loretta Jobe. I'm a retired deacon who hangs out here with all of you doing mission and ministry together. This is a church that wants to know God, love God, and serve God. We do that in a great variety of ways. You are handed a bulletin on the way in, and inside it is a connection card. Listed on there are some of the ways that you can get involved. There were announcements scrolling before the service started. They'll be scrolling out in the community room while you're having some of those delicious snacks after service. So please take a moment to fill out that connection card. Let us know how we might be a help to you to get involved in this community in a way that will be meaningful for you. There are also prayer cards in the pew backs. They're bright yellow, hard to miss. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, please take a moment to fill one of those out. You can return it to the ushers in the collection plates, or you can hand it to one of the clergy on your way out after service, and we will see to it that it gets to the right people to start those prayers going. This morning, assisting us with worship is Kelly Meyer and Carol Kaputska. As you can see, we're set up. The bells are going to have a beautiful song for us today as well. If you haven't already made your way to Sunday school and nursery, please do that now. I know people say there aren't any kids in church. It's because they're downstairs already. Most of them are eager. That's where they start their day. They like being down there. I have a number of announcements this morning, so hang on. Caroling at Greenfield Village on December 20th. We still are able to have people come. It is a great time. I haven't looked at the weather yet, but what the heck, whatever the weather is, it'll be a fun time with your fellow church members. The village is beautiful this time of year, and so please consider signing up on the bulletin board by the music room or contact Susan. Our Christmas program, children's Christmas program and dinner is December 15th. Tickets for the dinner are available online. The show itself is free. If you want to stay for dinner, because we need to have an amount of people to prepare the right amount of food, we need you to sign up online for that. It'll be in the community room between worship services for a sign up. Tonight at 5:00, Hope for Christmas. This is a quiet, reflective service for those who might find it difficult to rejoice in this season, whether you are mourning the loss of someone, a relationship, something going on in your life that makes Christmas a little blue this year, please consider joining us. The message will be brought to us by our district superintendent, Reverend Luann Rourke. It's time to donate for Christmas poinsettias. Envelopes for the poinsettias are on the coffee hour table. Those poinsettias decorate our church on Christmas Eve, and then you are welcome to take one home with you after the worship services are over. So please look for those. And then I'm going to invite Judy Letwinick. Oh, I'm inviting the elf up for one more announcement.
Good morning, church. Good morning. I'm here as elf to invite the children and their parents to a very special, special Christmas party. It's just called the Children's Christmas Party, and it is for, like I said, the parents with their children. It is happening next Friday, December 13th, at 6 to 8 p.m., and we're going to have a blast. It's so cool. We are going to have stories. We're going to have music. We're going to have crafts, games, and food, and who knows what else. But anyway, I hope you will all come and join us next Friday at 6 to 8 p.m. in the lower level. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. a symbol of the promises fulfilled in Christ and the assurance of all that is yet to come. God of hope, we stand in awe of your faithfulness through every generation. You are the light that guides us through our darkest nights, the anchor that holds us steady when we are adrift. As we watch this flame flicker, remind us that even in the smallest spark of hope can pierce the deepest darkness. Teach us to wait with expectant hearts, trusting in your perfect timing. Help us to share your hope with a world yearning for renewal and redemption. Lord Jesus, our living hope, come and reign in us today. God of truth and justice, we remember King Herod as a warning against the misuse of power and fear of your kingdom's light. Help us to relinquish anything in our hearts that resists your transforming love. May we live not in fear, but in faith, proclaiming the coming of Christ's reign of peace and justice.
Lord Jesus, come, come. Lord Jesus, come, come. Jesus, come. Amen.
Thank you. beautiful music to start our worship service this morning. This morning's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go also and pay him homage.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who creates us exactly as we are instead of who we pretend to be. Amen. Well, that prayer was a little passive-aggressive, I'm not going to lie. But this morning, we're talking about King Herod. And King Herod is not the kind of guy that we typically talk about during Advent season. If you look at his list of accomplishments, it's filled with beautiful building projects that he was so proud of. In fact, he was so proud of them, there's actually ancient graffiti that sometimes was etched into some of the buildings that Herod had constructed. His name was written on some of the massive construction projects, which included the expansion of the temple. Perhaps you talked or learned about the temple last week, where there was stories of people going into the Holy of Holies and offering their prayers before God. And this week, we're talking about this guy, Herod the Great, who was born before Jesus was. He rose into power by aligning himself politically with the Roman Empire, and he was a Jewish leader who was oftentimes known for being very defensive of the power and status that he had in the world at that particular time. Herod was corrupt. You heard him gather all of the Magi together, and he heard that some people had become aware that Jesus, the Messiah, had been born into Israel, and he had decided that he was so threatened by the encroachment and the proclamation that the Messiah had been born into the world that he issued this edict that every boy under the age of 2 that was born in that part of the country was to be killed. I should have said this is like kind of a trigger warning in case there are any kids that haven't been sent to Sunday school. This is a weird way to prepare for Christmas. We've been in the midst of this sermon series about Rachel Bilop's book, An Unlikely Advent. We're talking about the extraordinary people who make up this particular story. I don't know about you, but many of us in our families and our homes have gone out and gotten the nativity scene out, and you've got Mary and Joseph and Jesus, and you've got the shepherds perhaps as a part of that, and you get out, you know, the different animals. Needless to say, Herod is often not a part of our nativity scene. Amen? This is a weird guy for us to celebrate and remember. And yet, so many of us want to hold folks like Herod at a distance as if they too cannot be a part of God's incredible redemption story. We like to think of the Christmas story about being about people and families where they have it all together, where all the Christmas lights are hung and the trees are all put up and the family's all together and it looks beautiful and everything's great. But we tend to forget that part of Jesus's redemptive work in the world is to come and confront and be a part of the lives of even Herod himself, a person who wasn't particularly liked or appreciated in his time, a person who is oftentimes pushed back against and challenged for the ways in which he used his power, a person who is controversial and dangerous and toxic and altogether unliked by so many people in the ancient world. And we tend to think that Jesus would push them off to the side in a way of making space for everybody else who's perfect and has their life together and gets straight A's on all their tests and has raised 5 honor roll children who graduated and all got wonderful jobs. But this redemptive story, I think, is one of the most potentially powerful that Herod isn't excluded from the telling of this story. Rachel Billups tells the story of going to Israel just after the COVID period of time with her mom, a trip that they had dreamt of doing together for quite some time. And she's standing there in front of the ruins of one of Herod's constructions, and she's in the midst of writing this book, and she's wondering, why in the world am I feeling so compelled to write about this guy that I'd sooner forget? I'd love to cast out of the biblical narrative. I mean, he ordered that children unnecessarily would be killed, innocent children. Then she had this epiphany. Herod isn't just somebody off to the side. There's a little bit of Herod, as much as we don't like to admit it, in all of us. In fact, if you look back through the course of your life and you think about moments in your life where you have decided that you were more important than what God was doing in the world around you, if you got insecure and anxious that there weren't enough places around the table of power and you pushed somebody out to the side so that your voice could be amplified and their voice silenced because it wasn't particularly convenient to hear from them at the time, if you decided that your vision for the future was more important than God's, if you decided that you wanted to be in control and hold on to your particular influence at that moment, then maybe you can relate to Herod as well. At the end of the day, he was like, I would love for you all to go out and find this birth Messiah, this one that we've been waiting for centuries, and if you find him, come and tell me so that I also can pay him homage. Clearly, this was a deceptive act. Clearly, Herod's attempt to find the birth Messiah was an attempt to put his particular story to an end, because the prophets had come and said to the people of Israel, there will be at some point a child birthed into this world, the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who will deliver us from all of the political oppression that we've experienced over the last several millennia. And at that point, Herod looked at the mirror and he was like, oh, rulers of this world, that's me. I don't want to be dethroned. I like cozying up with Caesar Augustus. I like being a part of the seat of power. I like being in the influential parts of this world. I like having a seat at the table. My life is better, safer, more secure here than if I were to give up or renounce all of the power that I have in this world and give it to this Messiah. So what does he do? He orders the slaughter of every single child who meets the description of the Messiah who is born into the world. I hope you've never done anything so heinous. But I also imagine that for some of us, there have been moments where somebody gets on our nerves and we find a way to sort of box them out in basketball. Does anybody know that term? The shot goes up, and I remember when I played basketball, the job was to get your rear end right in front of them and get your arms up, set your feet low, and just get the rebound. Have you ever boxed anybody out? That's what Herod was up to in this time. But even Herod himself, as evil as he was, as power-hungry as he was, I believe that Jesus in part came into this world so that even people like Herod might be able to hear the message of redemption. Not to say that he took the path of transformation, but the option was there for him. He was able to hear that the Messiah that he and his people had waited for centuries was born into this world. He had a chance. He had an off-ramp. He had an opportunity to turn his life around too. Pastor Rachel Billups wrote in her book, The Story of Her Church. She was preaching on a Sunday morning, and she got into a relationship with a ministry that was serving folks who had received lifetime sentences through the criminal justice system. And her heart was sort of overwhelmed with this desire to get involved with the prison system because there were folks that she felt may have otherwise no occasion for hope. And so she decided to allow somebody to come to her church to preach a message on the transforming power of God's grace, even in some of the darkest places in the world, in lifetime sentencing prisons, maximum security facilities. And so she invited this individual to speak, and just before this individual got up to share, she felt these butterflies in her stomach, she tells the story. As she realized that the person she had invited to speak had taken somebody's life, and here she was in the middle of a church, not sure exactly how everybody in the church would receive the news that the preacher that day, who had been multiple times convicted of felonies and had taken somebody's life, was about to testify. And then she has this moment where she realizes that the Apostle Paul himself had been responsible for taking the lives of some of the early Christians. In other words, the Apostle Paul probably would not pass a modern-day background check. And yet, some of the most incredible stuff that happens in the New Testament is done by the very most unlikely figure to be a part of God's transforming grace and love. Yes. In this season, we would love our Christmas cards to be filled with beautiful photographs of families who have it all together. And we want to send that note to all of our friends all across the nation with wonderful, perfectly thematic stamps in the upper right-hand corner and the family seal pressed on the back. And yet, as I've gotten to know families over the years, I know that in nearly every family, there's some story or another of broken relationships, of tension and trauma, of stories where the image that's put on social media doesn't quite capture all of the nuances and complications that exist in our family life. The images that we portray to others don't necessarily tell the whole story of our inner struggles that we have as people. Rachel Billups concludes her chapter with the following proclamation: there is a little bit of Herod in us all, and we're all in the process of trying to work our way through the parts of us that we're ashamed of and that we're sad, because at the end of the day, when we're able to do that, when we're able to name our own brokenness, when we're able to name that we love holding on to power, when we're able to name our own aspects of human pride and our vanity and all of the parts of us that we're ashamed of, it's amazing what God's redemptive and transformative power can do. Some of the best testimonies that I've ever heard started with somebody being a jerk, just like Herod. I, too, share in this story. No, I have never ordered the murder of hundreds of people under the age of 2. But in a middle school, I was an arrogant jerk. Most of you probably would say, and if some of my, that would make a powerful testimony actually someday, is if you brought in some of my middle school friends and said, this guy, he's a pastor? Are you kidding me? Oh. And yet, that is the work and the deliverance of Jesus Christ. We do not have to be the people that we started out as. The patterns, the behaviors, the repeated attempts to get better, all are part of our spiritual story. We don't have to be ashamed of the parts of our personality that we're least proud of, because that is exactly where God's transformative work is at its best. I was thinking as I was preparing for this sermon of one of my favorite carols to sing, and sometimes it gets sung around Easter, sometimes it gets sung around Christmas. We had a tradition at one of the churches that I served of singing it around Christmas Eve, the Hallelujah Chorus. And one of the lines from the Hallelujah Chorus, I think, stands out when I think about Herod's life. The Hallelujah Chorus goes something like this: "The kingdoms of this world are now of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And it's this proclamation that the kingdoms of this world are temporary. Our pride, our vanity, our power is only temporary in light of the surpassing power of knowing that Jesus was born into the world in this humble beginning. And even Jesus as a lowly infant is even enough to threaten one of the most powerful people in the ancient world. What an incredible dichotomy. This powerful Herod, who commands the military of Rome, who can call in the Roman guard to suppress any sort of uprising that exists within his territory, is threatened by an infant. If you can't see God's transformative power at work in that, that this baby can put all of us on notice. I don't know how much more powerful I can make the Christmas story, that you'd feel so threatened that you'd order the silence of every child born within your territory. God came into this world in the form of Jesus, and it flipped everything on its head. And the shepherds, who we'll hear about in a couple of weeks, went running to go find this child because they had been hoping that somebody like this would be born into this world. And finally, Jesus shows up. And so my encouragement to you is this: as we land this plane somewhere, as you enter into the Christmas season, if there is any part of you that feels so prideful that you're boxing Jesus out of this world, if you think that your plans are more significant than the activity that God is up to in this world to transform every last corner of darkness into light, I hope that just for a moment, when you have the opportunity to silence somebody like Shiloh, who's talking about the announcement of the light that's coming into this world, that you would just stand back and listen to the bold proclamations of hope and transformation that are a part of our church's story and a part of the redemptive work of God. Root out the parts of your heart that are relating to Herod. Don't allow yourself to miss the opportunity to be present at Jesus' birth. What an awesome story it would be if 10 minutes after Jesus had sent out that notice of the Magi, he would have said, "No, wait a minute." What if, like in the modern world, you were able to send an email and then that little thing comes up, "Do you want to unsend it?" You've got this short grace period to read back through the note to undo any of the things that you responded to in your anger. How much greater would the nativity scene be if even Herod himself was able to be present at Jesus' birth? I think we're all invited. And Herod decided to take the path of pride. But we don't have to. We too can be present at the manger if we set our own plans aside and allow ourselves to be caught up in the beauty and the majesty of Christmas. So let us be present at the birth of Christ. Amen.
So I find it very interesting when we are entering into an attitude of prayer, the postures that you can take when praying. Our traditional posture is to put our hands together and bow our heads, and at times that is what I choose to do, but often, I know this will shock you, often I rebel from that attitude. So sometimes if you come to the 11 o'clock and I'm here with Lonnie, you'll notice that I don't know how we started this, but I'll lean my head over onto his shoulder and he'll lean his head over onto my head, and we're kind of like the wonder twin powers of prayer, I feel. So I might urge you to do that today. Be sure that you know the person next to you. I would maybe not, I don't know. I guess I probably should have. Anywho, another attitude that I often love is to, either with my eyes closed or my eyes open, raise my head up, and I love to do it when the lights are kind of on you, because I feel like God is almost up there with a giant pitcher, and he's kind of pouring things down on me like a syrup on a pancake. So as we enter an attitude of prayer, I challenge you maybe to try a different attitude in our hope. So let's pray. Lord, today we lit the candle of hope. Hope for us, hope for our neighbor, hope for the world, hope for renewal and redemption. The dictionary defines hope as an optimistic feeling of expectation and desire for something good to happen, even when it's not certain. The spiritual definition says, oh no, there is no uncertainty. That hope is certain. Through you, God, we can be certain that ultimately something good will happen. We lift our praises to you for that certainty. There are no if-then statements with hope in you. There are no maybes. There are only definites. You love us. You renew us. In you, we are redeemed. At some point in time, I have heard hope described as an emotional reservoir. We can call upon this emotional reservoir of hope for strength to keep going and not give up. We are able to do hard things, knowing that you will help us to sustain this reservoir. That when we feel depleted, there is always you there to renew and refill. The hope you give us is like the bottomless cup of coffee on a chilly Monday morning. The hope you give us is like the free refills of Diet Cherry Coke at Wendy's. The hope you give us is like the unending basket of warm breadsticks at the Olive Garden. Lord, hear our prayer of thanks for what you provide us. This season, we often find ourselves faced with stories of hope, stories filled with warmth, accomplishments, giving, and goals met. With all the beautiful lights, tantalizing smells, bright colors, and voices lifted together in singing, how can anyone possibly feel depressed, sad, or not wanting to celebrate the season? But with feelings of hope with this abundance, comes the hopelessness of those that do not have, those that do not feel warmth but are struggling with where they will find their next meal, how to pay to keep the lights on, and experiencing voices lifted in hate. We lift them up to you in prayer that we may in some way help them to fill their emotional reservoir, that we may in some way add hope to their story. As we await the coming of the newborn king during this time at Advent, you remind us to have hope and faith, to look beyond the right now and into the possibilities, and to pray for ourselves and others. We as a congregation send special prayers for Greg, who is the recipient of today's prayer quilt. We send him wishes for healing and comfort, prayers for peace and hope. And now let's spend some silent prayer time for what we may need or have praise for. And now let's lift our faces up to the Lord and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we prepare to receive today's offerings, I have an update for you on our giving campaign. Estimated giving cards given in so far, 177, for a total of $599,072. That will fund all of the ministries for next year's budget. Way to go, church. If you are a visitor here, know that we celebrate that you're with us today and do not necessarily need to put anything in the offering plate. Those of you who are regular givers, as demonstrated by this great news, we thank you and we ask that you continue to hold this church in prayers and giving of your gifts, time, talent, and witness. Would the ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord God of the universe, for caring for even the smallest of us. Thank you for giving us a community where we can grow in you and in love for each other. We offer these gifts in thanksgiving. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, as we conclude this worship service, I just want to invite you to take a seat for just a moment. We have one additional announcement we want to share with you. I want to invite forward Mike Kelly, who is the chair of our church's leadership board, to just share with us a staffing announcement on behalf of the leadership board and the staff management team.
Thank you. And staffing announcement, it's really good news. So sometimes people get a little bit concerned when they hear staffing, especially this time of year, right? So my name is Mike Kelly, chairman of the leadership board. As most of you know, leadership board was put into play this last year to help empower the church to make quicker decisions, move more nimble, and make sure that we continue to serve the community, serve Christ, and bring disciples to the church and to God. What I want to talk about today, first of all, is I love coming into the sanctuary in December. I love the lights. I love the everything that's set up, getting ready for the holidays. It just brings a little bit of warmth to my heart. Hopefully it does the same thing to you, even when we're hearing about things like Herod, right? So thanks for the message, John. Okay, I'm going to read a little bit, and I'll go off script a little bit. So being on the leadership board, we have we've affirmed that because of the opening of our of a position of the children and student ministries director, it's been open since what, March, April. We've diligently looked to find somebody to service and come in and make sure that we continue to grow that ministry. It's been a little bit tough. There's several churches in the area that have openings in the same area. We've made the decision after a few months that Pastor Lindsay Hall will now be responsible for church and student ministries. Great news. Lindsay has a lot of passion for this area of the church, and know that she will grow this area of the church beyond what we've seen the last couple of years. Anybody that was at General Conference, there was a couple stats given at General Conference. This reaffirms the decisions that were made. and I'll probably get them wrong a little bit, but in the United Methodist Church around the U.S., 48% of churches around the U.S. have no youth between infant and the age of 12 in their church. 54% of churches in the state of Michigan have no youth from the age of 12 to 16 in their church. What I love about this decision, what I love about this church, we're going the other way. We're growing the youth ministries, and we're growing for the... Thanks, and we're growing for the future. The other thing you may be asking yourself is, after a sermon like John's, is, what does this mean to me? How can I get more involved? Lindsay and John would love for people to get involved with student ministries and any ministry within the church. If you have a little spark in your heart and you want to, and encourage you to do something, talk to them about it. I think the stat was given, over 60 people are needed every Sunday to help run ministries downstairs, Sunday nights with the high school, the middle school. So there are places for anybody that wants to get involved. Just ask. Along with that change, Pastor John will be handling worship coordination, and the church will be hiring a new position titled Director of Mission Justice Engagement to support the important missions of the church and society work of our church. We hope these decisions will provide continuity to the children and student ministry areas, along with opportunities for our church to grow in its mission and outreach initiatives. In addition to that, our afternoon custodian at our Brighton campus, Linda Barrick, shared with us that she'll be retiring at the end of the year. The church will also be hiring an afternoon custodian, so please join me in expressing our gratitude to Linda. If you see her around church, please feel free to ask her any questions and give your thanks. Certainly, with the changes that I've talked about, if you have any questions, there'll be leadership board people around. I'll be around. The pastors will be around. Please direct your questions to them. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mike, for sharing that good news, and thank you for your leadership. Our liturgist today, Kelly Myers, is the chair of our staff management team. You can talk with her as well. As you depart from this place, I want to encourage you, as we go into this Advent and Christmas season, if you haven't had a chance already to make your plans for Christmas Eve, we have services at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 5 p.m., 7 p.m., 9 p.m. So those are the options, if that's helpful. 11, 2, 5, 7, 9, if you'd like to come to any of those. And in addition to that, we want all of you, including your blood this Advent season. If you're willing to be a donor, please see Greg Geis. He's actually wearing a red shirt, so appropriate for that announcement. So if you would be willing to help with that, we're looking for some additional donors for December 18th. If you're able to do that, we can get you signed up for that. As you depart from this place, I pray that you would spend a moment during this Advent season looking within, determining if there's any part of yourself that's keeping you from being a part of the crowd that gathered around Jesus's birth. If there's any part of you that's folding your shoulders, or if you feel boxed out by some part of your personality or story, root that part of you out, so that you can join with the shepherds and the magi and even the cattle and sheep and goats and everyone else who is there celebrating the birth of Jesus. The nativity scene would be so much more beautiful if Herod had taken off his crown and put it where it belonged. As we depart from this place, may we go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.